saved, to know the Lord, the free pardon of sin. God bless all you Bible sniffers. Thy word have I sniffed. What happens if you get a new Bible and somebody slips in a new NIV right by it? Can you tell by sniffing it which one's the real deal? I mean, I'm just asking. You can tell when you open it, but this is the, we're not openers, we're sniffers. Yeah, there you go. Thy word have I sniffed into my heart. No, that ain't. Hey, it's good to have. We're glad to have Brother Brian Atwood. We're glad he's here, and he's going to come tonight, and he's going to preach to us. I hope you'll give him your undivided attention and all of that right there. You got your button all hooked up and everything. And you know the button to turn on. Right there, okay, yeah. We may not have that much time. So, I mean, between all that sniffing, that's all right. Now, don't get all excited. Hey, here's the button right there, see that? Turn it till it turns green. Mash it again, there you go, now let it go. There you go. Hey, boy, I'm telling you, this thing's right on target, right all that. I'll let you get it all put squared back away and just how you like it.
There we go.
We're fine. Sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You think song services are long until you're supposed to get up here after? let's see. I preached this a couple weeks ago, but I left my notes at home today, so I had to kind of try to rewrite them. The last time I preached this, I preached this in Alvin, Texas, and I went up there, and I told them, I hope this preaching is like hunting. You know, the first time you go up there, something walks out, and you get real jittery, and you want to get up there real fast, and you want to take a quick shot, and you mess it up. And so, but you do it a couple more times, and kind of ease into it. So far, that's not really proving true, but we'll figure it out. Hopefully. All right. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. All right. So, y'all turn there. I'm going to read one verse real quick. That's 1 Samuel. All right. 1 Kings chapter 11 is where I'm going to start. Y'all haven't turned there yet, but 11:43 says, "And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead." All right. Proverbs chapter 1. So we know Proverbs chapter 1 was written by Solomon. And I was thinking about this while I was studying for this. I was thinking about it at work, and I realized that all throughout the book of Proverbs is him saying, "My son, my son, my son," and his son is Rehoboam. So I figured it was probably written for Rehoboam. And so I got on my lunch break and I called Evie and I was like telling her my great breakthrough, like, "Oh, this is so awesome! I can't believe I thought of this." And she opens her Bible and she's like, "Oh no, it's written in my Bible that's how it is." I actually took a picture of it. It says, there's a possibility that this first section of Proverbs was written by David for Solomon. The general consensus of conservative scholars is that these introductions were written by Solomon, mainly for his son Rehoboam. So, it wasn't that special. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start in verses 5 through 19. "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the word of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way of them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, and lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So, we know that was written for Rehoboam to be used in his later life. And Psalms chapter 1, y'all have to turn there, also touches on this. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, Rehoboam's father and his grandfather both wrote saying, hey, don't do that. That's a bad idea. And so, if you would now turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll sit there for a while. I wouldn't say a while. I don't know how long it's going to be. It's already 7:42. All right. So I got told a couple times that I preached ago that I talked too fast, so I'm working on slowing down. All right. Okay. So no doubt Rehoboam grew up hearing about this, since the king is supposed to teach the prince to become the future king. And yeah, so that's the king's job, is to teach the prince, this is what you're supposed to do so you don't ruin our country. A little bit of foreshadowing for you right there, if you know the story. Just giving him all his wisdom. The end of Solomon's reign. So Solomon, we know, was, as Brother Sam touched on this morning, Brother Solomon was the wisest king. He had all the wisdom, and that's what he asked God for over riches and long life. And so God blessed him for it. But toward the end of his reign, Solomon had 700 wives of strange women, and he put up idols and kind of just got away from the will of God. And I believe it really messed with Rehoboam. I think Rehoboam's reign could have been completely different if Solomon had stayed straight until the end. So, let's see. 1 Kings chapter 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came, and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, that we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men and stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived. And he said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? Quick side note right there. These are the men that Solomon went to when he needed advice and counsel. So the first time I preached this, before I preached it that morning, I taught Sunday school for the 5th and 6th graders, and that was teaching about the high priest. And at this time, Jesus Christ hadn't come yet, so the high priest was still the guy who you went to get the word from God. So no doubt the high priest was in this group, and we'll find out later, this was the group he should have listened to. So usually the group you should listen to is the group that has God on its side and asks God what he thinks. Okay, let's keep going. He lived, and how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people? And have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins. Yeah, that's a little prideful. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add unto your yoke. My father had chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So, off to a bad start. So, and obviously they didn't like that. The old men told him that he needed to go over there, and he needed to tell them, I'll make your burdens lighter, let me be your servant. And then they would serve him and for the rest of their days. But what he decided to do was he went to his friends, the people who were as old as him, and the people he grew up with, so they knew exactly what he wanted to hear when he asked them this question. And they told him, you should just go over there and tell him, no, I'm going to choose me first, and then y'all can just do what I say. And what ended up happening was the 12 tribes of Israel split to 10 tribes and 2 tribes. The only reason Rehoboam kept his spot as king was because of the Davidic covenant, which was God's promise to David saying, your seed will rule my people forever. So he couldn't take the tribe of Judah from him because he had promised that to his father David. And so that's the only reason he kept his throne. Oh, goodness. Let me figure out. Yeah, okay. So first off, I see that he was a foolish king. So he took the bad advice, and he split the kingdom. And this is his whole inheritance. His foolishness and his arrogance cost him, let's see, what's 10 out of 12? Cost him a large portion of his inheritance, and it cost him a large portion of the riches the kingdom had, because we'll find, like, later on in this, the Egyptians come and they take the majority. His father, Solomon, made a bunch of gold shields, and they took them all, and he made them out of brass. So, you know, it was pretty bad at that point. So then we see a vengeful king, and after all this happened, Israel made Jeroboam, the man who was hiding in chapter 12, they made him the king over Israel. And Rehoboam decided he was going to make an army and he was going to take Israel back. So we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 4 for that one. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. Let's see, is this right one? No. Oh, that's chapter 3. Oops. Right. And when the word of Samuel came to all Israel, now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistine pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined the battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So this doesn't have anything to do with Rehoboam, but this has to do with Israel trying to fight the Philistines without the help of God. So this happened a bunch of times. The Israelites would fight a much larger army, much more powerful, and they would win because they had God, because God was on their side, and God told them, do this, and I'll let you win. So Rehoboam decided, this has worked in the past, you know, big, small army defeats the big guy. So let's try it again. But Rehoboam didn't have God on his side, so it didn't work out. And so it ended up still being the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. So now I see the short-lived king. 1 Kings chapter 14, you don't have to go there. 14 verse 21 says that, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 17 years. So because of his arrogance, he only reigned for 17 years, which was relatively short for most of Israel's kings. And his big problem was the arrogance and the people he decided to put himself around. The company we keep will greatly affect us spiritually, emotionally, and decision-wise. The friends you choose, like I have my mother's cousin. He grew up in a time when nobody wanted to serve God in his friend group, and he decided he'd rather not have friends than have friends that didn't want to serve God. And I think that's really admirable and a really hard thing to do. But we also treat God that way. His call to salvation, we'll be sitting there gripping the seat like life or death, And he's telling us, come, get saved, accept my free gift. And that's the good counsel. And then our bad counsel inside will tell us, either no, I don't have to do that, or what will people think about me? We choose to listen to ourselves over the great counselor. So, a lot of, you know, the Bible is written for us to read and to learn from and to apply to our own lives. So I think when we read this story about Rehoboam, we need to take what he did wrong and we need to learn from it and relate it to ourselves. So keep God first and choose your friends wisely. Thank you for your time. What do I need to do here?
Bless you, buddy. All right, let's everybody stand to our feet. We're going to get ready. You can make your way back there to where normally I stand. There's going to be one of them right there if you don't mind. And you can just make your way back through right there. That's a good job, good lesson, and all of that business right there. And you certainly are wise beyond your years. That's a complicated subject. Whenever Israel used to be one united kingdom, and then it was divided into two of them. And let me say to you that, if you will, that one of these days going to be united again, but it's going to be whenever they finally are awakened to who the Lord really is and when he comes again. All right, let's stand here for a moment, and as we bow our heads in prayer to be able to get dismissed, we thank God for the privilege to be able to do so. Brother Ben dismisses.